Hey everyone, welcome back to Reason and Theology. So the extraordinary consistory that Pope Leo just called last month is now taking place today and tomorrow. And we've been wondering, what exactly is this consistory about? This, just in case you don't know, consistory is when you have a gathering of all of the cardinals meeting with the Pope. In particular, an extraordinary consistory is something that doesn't happen routinely. They're more infrequent, and they usually deal with big picture agenda items of the papacy. And so people have been very curious, what exactly is this about? And we're starting to get some answers. And it touches on the question of Vatican II. It touches on the question of ecumenism, interreligious dialogue, the church's relationship with other Christian communities and non-Christian communities, and also things like the liturgy and synodality, the term that we have been seeing for the last decade or so, especially under the pontificate of Pope Francis, who really popularized the question of synodality. So please let me know if there's any difficulty, by the way, in hearing me. If somebody says I need to maybe turn up the volume, okay, let me know if that helps. Hopefully it's a little bit better now, but I'll look in the comment section to see if I get a response from y'all there. Well, Pope Leo is telling us what his pontificate is going to be dedicated to because of his audience that he just had with all of the cardinals. So I want to take a look at what he is saying to them, what he is going to focus his papacy on, and what this really means for the church moving forward. Now, a lot of people were hoping that what he would potentially do is reform the liturgy, maybe make it a little bit closer to the Latin Mass, or at least free up accessibility to the Latin Mass, removing some of those restrictions from Pope Francis in his pontificate with Traditionis Custodis, where he restricted access to the Latin Mass to a certain degree. Some people were hoping that that's maybe what he was going to be doing with this consistory. Others were thinking maybe there's going to be some doctrinal changes coming. Maybe there's going to be a question of women's ordination coming up. And so there's kind of been some speculation on that. He's starting to give us, however, some signals on what this meeting is about, although it's not over. It's still taking place today and, like I said, tomorrow, but I'll show you what we have so far. And by the way, let me remind y'all, hit that subscribe button if you appreciate the content of this channel and you want to see it grow and reach more people. So before we talk about his speech that he just gave to the cardinals, I want to add a particular point that is a follow-up to yesterday's stream that is related to today's stream. We spoke about Cardinal Timothy Radcliffe, recently made a cardinal right at the end of Pope Francis's pontificate. Very controversial figure because he says some things that seem to be against the church's teaching on homosexuality. We saw yesterday he gave a very, very big interview with the Telegraph saying that he wants to see women priests in the Catholic Church, which left us scratching our head thinking, how does that work? Because didn't John Paul II teach infallibly in Ordinatio Sacerdotalis that this couldn't happen? So we're just left wondering what's going on here. And he also said some comments about homosexuality that just simply don't align with the teaching of the Catholic Church. And this is a very high profile, very influential cardinal. And we thought, surely he's going to be disciplined for this because this is undermining the magisterium. This is undermining the papacy. So something needs to happen. Well, rather than him being disciplined, guess who was now called upon to open this extraordinary consistory, the meeting of all the cardinals with the Pope, to open it with a special meditation? Well, you guessed it, none other than Cardinal Timothy Radcliffe. So rather than being disciplined, he's kind of put front and center at this extraordinary consistory, which is the wrong signal, because here you have a cardinal who is opposing what Ordinatio Sacerdotalis says is an infallible teaching. And if you can oppose infallible teachings with no consequences as a cardinal, what that signals is everybody else can do the same. If a cardinal doesn't have to follow the faith, Why should the laity? Why should bishops? Why should priests? So it sends already at the very beginning of this consistory the wrong signal, in my opinion. Now, Pope Leo is telling us what his pontificate is going to be about, and it reconfirms what he told us at the very beginning of his pontificate. He is going to focus on the question of implementing Vatican II, more ecumenism, more interreligious dialogue, more of implementing Pope Francis's magisterium. If those are things that you love and like, you're going to love this pontificate. If those are things that you don't necessarily prefer or maybe even oppose, you're going to be in maybe for a tough time in this pontificate. Because here he's signaling to us, he's going to focus especially on Vatican II. He sees it as irreversible. There's no way of going back. We're going to continue to push forward with Vatican II. And what aspect? And its active participation liturgically, its liturgical reforms, and its emphasis on dialogue with other communities, interreligious dialogue, and also ecumenism with other Christian communities. In the proclamation of the gospel as envisioned by Pope Francis in his magisterium, these are the things that he's signaling are going to be things that he is going to emphasize for his pontificate. Now, that may come as a surprise to some people because they thought, hey, you know what? He's going to take a different direction than Pope Francis. He's going to go in a different angle here. And what he was just doing in this past year is he was kind of wrapping up Pope Francis's agenda that he didn't get to complete before he passed away. So he wrapped up the Jubilee. He wrapped up some of the documents that Pope Francis had in the works. And in 2026, we would see Pope Leo's vision for the church. And some people thought it would be different than Pope Francis's vision. But no shock to us, those of us who actually have been listening to Pope Leo, that's not the case. He's going to continue to implement Vatican II, implement the magisterium of Pope Francis. Okay, so let me read this to you. I'm going to offer some commentary on it. Pope Leo began a series of reflections on the Second Vatican Council at his first general audience of 2026 on Wednesday. The public audience held indoors in the Vatican's Paul VI Hall due to low temperatures took place shortly before the start of Leo's first consultation with cardinals called the Consistory, convened on January 7th. And January 8th. And what he says in this talk, in this audience, is reiterated in his opening speech to the cardinals. So by covering one, I'm pretty much covering the other. The Pope noted that though the Second Vatican Council took place just over 60 years ago, its generation of bishops, theologians, and lay Catholics is no longer, is still alive. Is no longer alive, necessitating a renewed study of its teachings. So he wants to come back to, let's study the text of the council. Let's get back to what the council actually teaches. And there has been some tension between the way some bishops have spoken about Vatican II, maybe even the ways in which it's been implemented in some cases, liturgically, doctrinally, practically, versus what the documents themselves actually say. There's always been that tension, right? The spirit of Vatican II versus the documents themselves. So he's saying we need to get back to the documents. So he wants us to get back to reading these 16 documents. While we hear the call not to let the council's prophecy fade and to continue to seek ways and means to implement its insights, it will be important to get to know it again closely and to do so not through hearsay or interpretations that have been given, but by rereading its documents and reflecting on their content. And, you know, there have been calls on part of a lot of very, very loud voices in the church to just kind of do away with Vatican II. Let's just get over it. Let's just move past it. Let's maybe hit the reset button, or let's just ignore it. Let's go back to this, or let's do that. But let's just kind of forget Vatican II. Here he's saying, no, Vatican II, we're not forgetting it. We're not hitting the reset button. There is no reset button. There is no reversing it. We're going back to it, but we need to go back to it and not maybe false interpretations of it. He affirmed that the Magisterium of Vatican II still constitutes the guiding star of the church's journey today. That's a quote. Guiding star of the church's journey today. Which, you know, is going to further debate, right? Because there has been a lot of debate on the question of the teachings of Vatican II. How do we understand them in light of some preconciliar teachings? There's been many attempts to try to harmonize them. Some may accept the harmonizations, others reject them. And then there's been others who say, look, there is no way to harmonize them. They're just at odds, so you just have to pick one or the other. And some will say, well, Vatican II was in error. Others will say the preconciliar popes and some of their teachings were in error. So they'll just pick one over the other. Those doctrinal debates still continue to this day. And they're going to continue moving forward because he sees Vatican II especially as the guiding star. So there's a lot of people who want to see like the Council of Trent be the guiding star, or Vatican I be the guiding star, or some other ecumenical council of the church being the guiding star. And the last one that they want to see as a guiding star is Vatican II. He's saying, no, we need to get back to Vatican II. That's the guiding star. That's the lens through which we need to view everything. As the years have passed, the conciliar documents have lost none of their timeliness. So they're still relevant to today. Anybody who's telling you they're not, Pope Leo is saying, actually, they're very relevant. Indeed, their teachings are proving particularly relevant to the new situation of the church in the current globalized society, he said, quoting Pope Benedict XVI. The Holy Father also recalled the original impulse of this great ecclesial event convened by St. John the 23rd, which paved the way for a new ecclesial season following a rich biblical, theological, and liturgical reflection spanning the 20th century. So that phraseology is going to rub some people the wrong way. The way for a new ecclesial season. They'll hear that as a new ecclesiology. They'll hear that as a new way of being church as opposed to older ecclesiologies and older ways. And they're going to get nervous hearing that kind of language. Of course, he doesn't necessarily mean new as in 100% contrary to, you know, the fundamental aspect of ecclesiology in the preconciliar period. He might just be talking about how the ecclesiology is implemented in practice. But I'm sure that's going to rub some people the wrong way because of that language, right? When they hear new, they're automatically going to hear something like, well, that means innovation, that means change, that means departure from tradition or departure from the truth. Leo reviewed some of the council's principal fruits, including that it rediscovered the face of God as the Father, who in Christ calls us to be his children, which begs the question, when was this lost? It also led, he said, to a renewed understanding of the church as a mystery of communion and a sacrament of unity between God and his people. Again, begging the question, when was that concept lost? And it intimated or initiated an important liturgical reform by placing the mystery of salvation and the active and conscious participation of the entire people of God at its center. So he is very much on board with the concept of the Second Vatican Council was right to initiate what he is calling active and conscious participation of the faithful, having a more active role in the liturgy. Some people oppose that and they say that's just a straw man. You know, back in the day when laity were doing less things during the liturgy, they're still just as equally active and participating in some kind of contemplative way. And just by doing something now in the post-conciliary period doesn't mean you're somehow more active and more participating. And so he's kind of getting into some of those debates, and he's taking a position here that's very much in line with the post-conciliar period, and maybe not what some people were hoping for if they were looking for a more pre-conciliar approach or what they would deem to be a pre-conciliar approach. Quoting St. Paul VI, he stated that the church embarked on a new path in order to seek the truth by way of ecumenism, interreligious dialogue, and dialogue with people of goodwill. So there's another big one. If you like the ecumenism, if you like the interreligious dialogue that you've seen in the post-conciliar period, you're going to like Poplio. If you don't like that stuff, if you think it compromises the faith, if you think it compromises the dogma outside the church, there is no salvation, you're not going to be satisfied with what Pope Leo has done already in his pontificate on these questions and is going to continue to do moving forward. And he's telling that to you right now. So be aware of that. That same spirit, he added, must characterize our spiritual life and the pastoral action of the church, because we have yet to achieve ecclesial reform more fully in a ministerial sense. And in the face of today's challenges, we are called to continue to be vigilant interpreters of the signs of the times, joyful proclaimers of the gospel, courageous witnesses of justice and peace. What is he talking about? What kind of ecclesial reform have we not yet realized? What kind of pastoral actions is he talking about that haven't yet been realized? What challenges today is he referring to? And what are the signs of the times, right? A lot of those tend to be buzzwords that we tend to hear used and thrown out in liberal circles. I'm not saying that he's using them in that sense, but what I'm saying is we often hear those terms. We got to get with the signs of the times, and that will be used as justification to reform the church's teachings and practices on some things that shouldn't be adjusted and changed, and really in many cases can't be. So when people hear that, they're going to get nervous. What are you talking about? We got to interpret the signs of the times, and we haven't yet fully realized and achieved ecclesial reform. What ecclesial reforms? What are we trying to achieve here? Those are going to be questions that a lot of people are going to be asking. And then he says, as we approach the documents of Vatican II and rediscover their prophetic and contemporary relevance, we welcome the rich tradition of the life of the church. And at the same time, we question ourselves about the present and renew our joy in running towards the world to bring it to the gospel of the kingdom of God, a kingdom of love, justice, and peace, he said. So he's saying, he welcomes tradition in the life of the church, but at the same time, we question ourselves about the present. Well, is he talking about making some changes here? If so, of what kind? What is he not satisfied with the present that we need to challenge and need to question and need to renew and need to reform? I guess we're going to find out in the coming days. Now, he did say this. In the coming days, this is a quote, and this is, by the way, from the Vatican website. In the coming days, we will have the opportunity to engage in a communal reflection on four themes. So here's the four things that he really wants to focus on with this consistory. So if you wanted to know what is it about, here it is. Evangelii Gaudium. That is the mission of the church in today's world. Do you recall Evangelii Gaudium? This was a document by Pope Francis in 2013, his first document explaining his vision and mission for the church. Pope Leo says, number one, we need to focus on this. Evangelizing the world, according to how Pope Francis outlined the agenda for evangelization in this document. So once again, re-implementing, doubling down on, perpetuating the magisterium of Pope Francis. So if you were looking for him to depart from the magisterium of Pope Francis, he's telling you right up front, he's not doing it. Predicati Evangelium, namely the service of the Holy See, especially to the particular churches. This was another document put out by Pope Francis on how the Holy See operates. He wants to discuss that. The Synod on Synodality, that's third, as both an instrument and a style of cooperation. So he's very clear. He wants to continue the synodal path of the church. So the concept of synodality, as we've seen expressed by Pope Francis and by the Synod on Synodality 2023-2024, that vision for the church, the way of being a synodal church, he wants to continue that. And then fourth, he says the liturgy, the source and summit of the Christian life. But he says, due to time constraints and in order to encourage a genuinely in-depth analysis, only two of those will be discussed specifically. So of those four, which two do you think they're going to be discussing specifically? Do you think it's going to be liturgy? And if so, what aspect of it? Is he talking about further implementing the reforms of Vatican II? Is he talking about hitting the reset button and going to a more preconciliar path? Is he talking about alleviating some of the restrictions on the Latin Mass? Is he talking about maybe furthering them? What is he talking about? Well, whatever he's talking about liturgically, is that the two of the four that's going to be addressed? Well, we just got the answer right before I went live. Here's the two of those four that they only have time to consider in any great detail. Of the four themes named as up for discussion in the consistory, cardinals today chose two to be discussed: synodality and mission and evangelization. So not liturgy and not how the Holy See should be governed and functioned. Okay? So synodality, mission and evangelization. Not a surprise to me, but it's certainly going to be disappointing for people who have wanted to see liturgy like front and center, especially surrounding the questions of some of the liturgy wars, the Latin Mass debates and all that. Maybe something will still come of that. Don't get me wrong. Maybe something will, but that's not going to be the focus of this consistory. I was hoping personally, if liturgy was going to be front and center before the Latin Mass, before the reform of the reform, before those conversations, I was hoping there would be a condemnation of Pride Masses and that we would see an end to them and that the Pope would say no more of these Pride Masses and that he would put a ban on them. I was hoping that we would see that. I was hoping that would be number one. If I had to say the main things that really need to be addressed in the church today, I would say number one, church discipline needs to start to be implemented. More church discipline. If you had more church discipline, the vast majority of the problems and corruption in the church would be fixed like that. If bishops started getting fired and didn't get to just retire quietly and get paid for their retirement, if they actually had to go and get a job once they got fired, if people were disciplined, suspended from communion until they repent, until they come back to orthodoxy, just whatever. If that were to happen, a lot of the problems would be fixed overnight. I would say that would be number one. But number two, do something about the Pride Masses. This needs to stop. Bishops are celebrating Pride Masses openly and with impunity. Priests are doing so. This needs to stop. Immediately, we need an encyclical condemning and prohibiting Pride Masses right now. Before we talk about anything else liturgically, that should be priority. Then we can have conversations about a reform of the reform or Latin Mass or any of that. Let's just get rid of this other stuff first, because the house is burning down. We need to take care of that first. That's my personal opinion, though. I know it looks like the Pope and the bishops and the cardinals see it very differently. But I'm sticking to my guns on this. I'm not changing my mind. Everything that I've seen has confirmed me on that point. But hey, if I'm missing something, let me know. I am willing to change my mind, but I'm just telling you, everything that I've seen has confirmed me on this particular point, that this really needs to be addressed. Okay. Now, I also wanted to mention something related to this. Because Bishop Barron is also weighing in on the question of synodality right before Pope Leo said that synodality is going to be a big focus of this consistory and his pontificate. Bishop Barron posted on his social media some comments on synodality, and he said, look, he's participated in the synod on synodality, but he has some criticisms of some understandings of synodality. And there was a particular line in the post that really caught my attention. And he said, synods should not be places to debate doctrine. but should just be there to kind of implement practical reforms. And I wanted to kind of weigh in on that just very briefly and just say, if synods should not be places to debate doctrine, I do wonder, how does that make sense of the vast majority of church history? Because the vast majority of church history, doctrine was debated at synods, whether we're talking about ecumenical synods or more localized synods. Synods was the main forum where debate took place. So if we're getting away from doctrinal debates synodally, my question is, where will those doctrinal debates take place? Because they're happening online, right? I mean, there's plenty of people, cardinals, bishops, making all sorts of comments online doctrinally and debating doctrine online. You would think that a synod would be a place where they could come together and maybe debate those things. If it's not going to be in a synod, where should it be? Because those doctrinal conversations are taking place whether we like it or not. So there needs to be some kind of forum where they would take place, and maybe the papacy can offer some guidance and kind of weigh in and say, okay, you guys are going too far over here, need to dial that back in. If it's not synods, where should it be? I do recognize the Synod of Bishops as it's defined right now, just in the Code of Canon Law, is a little different than synods historically. But given that we're not really having synods historically, how they functioned historically, given we're not really having those, and they have been effectively replaced by episcopal conferences and the Synod on Synodality, it is what it is. It's going to have to be in episcopal conferences and the Synod of Bishops, where you would have these conversations debated and take place, and it would be the papacy that offers some guidance and offer final decisions. So I was a little confused by that comment, but it seemed like he was downplaying the concept in some way, at least, of synodality. And right after that, Pope Leo comes out and like triples down on synodality. So it seems like he was coming with a different perspective. And like I said, not a huge surprise for me from what I've seen from Pope Leo here, because he told us at the very beginning of his pontificate the main things he was going to focus on. And he told us straight up 100% implementing Vatican II, implementing the magisterium of Pope Francis, ecumenism and religious dialogue. He said that right up front. So this shouldn't be a huge shocker if you've been watching this channel consistently. If you've been reading social media, if you've been relying on content creators online who often put a spin on things, if you've been just listening to what people say on Twitter, yeah, you know, reality is going to hit you like a ton of bricks in the face when you find out what he's actually saying versus what people are saying he's saying. What is actually important to him versus what people are saying is important to him. What he actually values as guidance for the church and the agenda for the church versus what people really want him to value. I will keep you all up to date with any other further developments on this as they continue to take place, as the Vatican website continues to offer us information on the conversations that they're having. They are taking place behind closed doors, so right now we don't have transcripts. I don't know if we're going to have some at some point. He did tell us, however, they're not working on a document. So if you were thinking some kind of document was going to come out of this, no document is coming out of this, no magisterial document. The purpose of this was just kind of guidance, hearing verbally from the bishops on these questions to just kind of give them verbal feedback so that he has that as he proceeds with his pontificate. So no document is going to be a result of this. So like no new encyclical or apostolic exhortation or something like that. We did get confirmation of that. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. I'll keep you all up to date with any other developments that take place to this. And I'll also keep you all up to date on plenty of other topics that are going on right now. So make sure to stay tuned for more great content. Hit the subscribe button and hit the bell for notifications so you know when I post a video or go live. And I would greatly appreciate your support for the channel. If you find this to be beneficial, you want to see me continue to offer content to everyone every single day for free, please consider doing your part. Visit Patreon, patreon.com/reasonandtheology to support the channel. And also visit RT Courses, Reason and Theology, rtcourses.com to check out my lectures that I have on the magisterium, on church history, on all sorts of stuff, and free resources on there as well. So go and check it out, rtcourses.com. That's going to do it for now. We'll see you later. God bless.